You are not to discuss this matter amongst yourselves.
We don't submit reports or ask approval for specific operations, if that's what you mean. We are an autonomous department.
Any questions?
Broadcasting from an abandoned subspace relay orbiting Risa, this is Section 31, gathering intelligence for you on Star Trek CCG. Now reporting in, operatives Dan and Rogue.
Welcome to Section 31, episode number 89. I'm Dan Hammond.
And I am Rogue Schindler.
This week, we have a one-e set releasing on or about when you're hearing this, if you are hearing it, you know, when it was posted. And there's also a couple of polls on the discussion boards that we're going to talk about and give our opinions on. So why don't we just jump right in, straight and steady. You've got the file in front of you. You're looking at. What do you think?
Honestly, I'm excited for new one-e cards. So yeah. I'm wondering why we didn't get new 1E cards.
What do you mean?
No, I'm just feeling like of all the things, so the biggest complaint about 1E is the sort of balance of power or lack thereof. And this set seems largely based on Starfleet, which is really an affiliation that has not needed a lot of help in the 1E realm of things. I understand that they did, you know, there's a limited number of personnel that were in the Enterprise collection, and you know they've thrown in a few Klingon Romulan angles, but I don't know, maybe it's just because I didn't really wasn't a huge Enterprise fan until fourth season, but I don't know. I felt like if the goal of the 1E virtual cards is to sort of level the playing field, starting with an affiliation that's already pretty strong, was not the way I would have gone.
You know, it's interesting you say that because that was my opinion going into this as well. But apparently our group is the only one that falls victim to Enterprise every time it shows up in a tournament.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. Talking to Jeremy's group up north, it was apparently rated one of the lowest on the power curve, which I thought was ridiculous. But, you know, talking to them, they just didn't feel like it was... They knew what the weaknesses were, mostly because they had a hand in designing it. So they knew how to beat it very easily. For example, Starfleet people on average have medium to low cunning, and they don't have any tools to make their cunning go any higher. So there's no pad. There's no... Youth, I think it's youth. There's no youth. And there's a couple other skills that they just don't have any of. But I think the biggest reason for this set was that for some reason the Starfleet headquarters was in the 24th century instead of the 22nd century. So,
oh, was it just lacking of an icon for some somehow?
Well, it was on the normal space line and not on a time location, like every other. Not TNG era affiliation.
Sure, it's the only headquarters that I suppose there are no other headquarters that are in the past.
Well, the biggest, allegory, the biggest comparison
analogy,
you can have, analogy would be D Space K7, which is the TOS, and that's, you know, you can play all your guys over there for free, much like the Starfleet one, but you've got to go back in time and then go forward in time to get them anywhere that they can do something. So now Starfleet plays on a time location. They've got to go back. They've got to jump into the 24th century like everyone else does, who is you know, in the past. So on that, I personally think that is actually a setback. But it's balanced a lot by
it is.
How many extra cards I get.
Yeah, I can see the logic in that, but all of that said, I still feel like there is a lot more immediate concerns that could have been dealt with.
Yes, I think the second point is this is only the second virtual set, and they didn't want to, again, do too much.
Starting with the sets that don't mean as much, so that if it gets screwed up, it's not a big deal.
Not as big of a deal. And really, a lot of players say, you know, if you're new to the game and you want to just jump in, you go buy an Enterprise collection or three, and then you're pretty much good to go. You get a couple of missions and you can play. And this just builds on that. Now you get an Enterprise collection or two. You throw in a bunch of these cards, Homefront, and you pretty much have everything you need. Especially since you can use printed missions now in 1E. Something you said was a lot of these cards look a lot like cards that we already have.
Yeah, I was a little curious that there's a lot of... So here's the thing. When they started making like All Good Things and such, there was a little bit of an overlap of... I guess somebody thought it was cool. I kind of felt it was lazy. Of here's a 1E card with the image from a 2E card, even though it's a different card. And
right.
And now we've got... So that we have to keep straight between those, between the existing 1E and 2E cards that have same images but are separate cards, and the virtual translations, I guess, for lack of a better term, of cards that are 2E cards that are backwards compatible that they're reinventing or retranslating into
right.
a 1E template.
The word you're looking for there is conversion.
Conversion.
And it's the icon in the bottom left corner where the backwards compatible icon would be.
Yeah.
So that means in the official tournament format, this replaces the 2E card.
So these are, okay, so a lot of these are just conversions,
these are conversions
of the 2E cards.
Yeah. And since there are a lot of Starfleet cards that people use, especially Hoshi, it kind of makes sense to just make a 1E version and say, okay, here, use this. It's
yeah.
printable now. You don't have to use the... There's a lot of groups.
Except this Hoshi is not nearly as good.
What's that?
This Hoshi is not nearly as good.
Yeah. There's a lot of groups that just... don't want to have anything to do with 2E, and they won't use the backwards compatible cards. Now, that's the choice. So all these cards that are on the 1E template are as good as new cards to at least them.
Yeah,
a lot of players just, you know, just like the 1E stylings and the 1E template.
And that, to me that feels like there is a group of people who have decided to cut themselves off from a resource, and now the rest of us are getting punished because they don't like how a card looks.
I don't know about that. It's not like it's not like cards were cut out of the set to put these backwards compatible cards in.
But some of these conversions are not as good as their, like I said, the Hoshi, the stats are a little more in line with 1E, but the skills are drastically reduced.
I happen to like this card a lot because she doesn't lose anything while she's facing a dilemma. And she's got a good special download. What does she lose? She loses medical, which I don't understand why Hoshi had medical in the first place. And something else, and gain music and the download.
So now Starfleet can get past I hate you.
Yes, without using the lame Hoshi from the Enterprise collection. But as you said, power curve, like that Daniel Leonard, now his when you play him in the 2E version, anytime you play him, you get to fetch a ship. Which was crazy because you could clone him, you could kill him and then play him again, play him over, you know, and just download however many 20, you know, however many Enterprise mm-hmm. cards there were for Starfleet. So the Enterprise backwards compatible cards. Anyway, now it's just a special download once per game.
Sure, and that makes sense.
Yeah.
Anyhow, looking beyond the Starfleet,
mm-hmm.
there is also. I mean, in the same vein of the 22nd century icon, we have some the Orion slave girls, which are non-unique, and these are not conversions. Well, one of them is not a conversion. I guess several of them are conversions.
Yeah, these were the ones that were on the banned list because they did crazy things.
Crazy, crazy, crazy things. So that's cool.
So now they have a bunch of skills. One of them can download commandeer ship, although she can't commandeer her ship by herself. She needs an engineer with her. But the other two slave girls happen to have engineer or computer skill.
Right.
And one of the other girls has computer skill, so that's good.
A handful of red and green.
Yes.
Which I guess, you know, you can throw in.
And just a random Bajoran guy who just happened to be from the 22nd century.
Yeah, that was a nice nod mm-hmm. to throw in with the flavor of the set, since he ends up coming out of the wormhole later, and Ensign Jameson, 7 of 9,
yes.
to go with the temporal agent theme.
Yeah, so we get three temporal agents, and I almost wonder if there could have been more, you know, because all across Star Trek, there's all kinds of people jumping around, doing things for some reason, you know,
sure,
trying to fix something,
and definitely like the nurses in the last set, I feel like this is certainly opening up mm-hmm. things to future sets.
Do you think Kimtar would have been a temporal agent?
Oh, well, he didn't. He sort of was on his own personal mission.
Yeah.
That temporal agent seems to imply that they're working for an organization or a group on a specific mission. Seven and Nine was working with the Enterprise J crew, and Daniel seemed to imply that he had his own support staff, you know, mission thing.
Mm-hmm.
Very Pippin-esque, and Kimtar was just sort of on a personal quest to make sure that he didn't suck.
Yes.
It's like, wow, I really turned out to be a douche. I'm going to go back and I'm going to make sure that my dad teaches me how to be a warrior so I don't end up as a wishy little diplomat. Although, from a game perspective, his card certainly turned out to be pretty awesome. So, in 2E.
Yeah.
Not so much in 1E, but...
Yeah.
But that time, I'm looking for it. Is it out of time?
Yes.
The temporal agent interrupt is a pretty cool concept. Getting to bounce your agents back from hand and then... time travel between locations.
Yeah, I almost wonder, since you can, there's a security non-aligned fellow in Daniels that'll let you download this the first turn, right? So you can fetch him with Defend Homeworld. That's almost better than using the temporal vortex to jump around.
Well, and now you have two options for that.
Yeah.
You know, you can use that to start to get going right away, and then you can save your cue the ref to get your temporal vortex later, if you mm-hmm. need it.
If you need to go back and forth a few times?
Yeah.
I was wondering if they, you know, now that this has got utility to it, you know, you can get it the first turn you need it. Any affiliation can do it. You can do it at, I wonder, could you do it at Deep Space Chase in K7? I don't know if you can report there. Or maybe you can't report there free. I don't remember. Because it's a station, it's fed, so you should be able to report there, but it's not native. I'm not sure. I'll have to look that one up.
I think it is. Doesn't it play to the mm-hmm. to the temporal to the time location?
Yeah. Yeah. So if you have access to this on the first turn, and it has some recursion, because all you have to do is stop somebody to put it back on top of your deck and grab it again. I wonder if they could take the ref icon off of temporal vortex, since the Sheliak and the Borg cube are out of the play pool in the band pile right now.
Yeah, that was its original intent for being downloadable. It was not so that you could easily time travel, but so that you could not get headquarters hosed.
Mm-hmm. It's been such a staple card for Borg to travel back in time, you know, because you can just get it whenever you need to.
Sure.
Or
TOS decks.
TOS. I mean, a lot of TOS decks will use the Guardian Forever and just walk back and forth. But
yeah.
if you want the ship, you know, or you know anything else that you want to play for free, it's just too easy to just fly the ship in and out.
Yeah.
And it cycles underneath for a card draw, so it costs you nothing.
Exactly. Let's see. K7 plays at 2267 Sherman's Planet. May be used by all players compatible cards once per turn. One TOS icon card reports at this location for free. So it is at the time location.
Right, but since non-aligned is compatible with Fed, he can report there without a problem.
Right.
Which means he can download there with Defend Homeworld. Not to think about that. I really did enjoy playing that TOS and movie era deck, and he might be just the card I need to jump around. That would be fun. You play a lot of... Is there something for your primary affiliation here? You played Bajoran and Starfleet in the last couple tournaments. Was there something else?
Well, you know, I always love the Klingons.
Mm-hmm.
Mirror Quadrant is arguably my primary affiliation.
There's no Ferengi here either.
There's no Ferengi. Although you could, you know, there's 22nd century Ferengi. You know what that's about.
Yeah. We got a whole team of them in Tui.
Exactly. I guess that was we had to be satisfied with that. The Klingons here are all right.
How do theirs? I mean, if you were looking at skill selection, they play for free to the augment place, and you can draw a card if you happen to have that guy there. Are there skills such that you'd think about including them for things?
Volek is a competent and strong support personnel, so that's not bad. There's not a lot of transporter skill for the Klingons, so Lyneth is not bad. They're all ridiculously strong. I guess that's a part of the that episode. Since they're all augments, the general is kind of cookie cutter Klingon officer, you know, leadership, security, directory.
Yeah. But I have to say, graphically, despite a number of the cards being reuses of images, I think this set looks fantastic. So kudos to our art team for that.
Yeah, there are certainly a lot of interesting. I'm biased mostly by my apathy for Enterprise as a show, and thus the Starfleet affiliation. I enjoyed playing Starfleet as an affiliation, both in 1E and 2E, so I'm not sure why.
That's probably not the set for you, then, huh?
I don't know why, because I do enjoy them in the game, but I guess, you know, just getting excited about them in general is not doing it for me, because I'm not really excited about that particular show. But, you know, there are some interesting other things. I'm interested in the thief, at trying to add a little more to the thief aspect for 1E, which should be interesting. And I'm definitely a fan of the big non-aligned crew stopper dilemma.
Yeah, I was going to say I guess if you're looking for some other show, there are three other options in the dilemma pile, in the seat phase, because that's where the Voyager icon, the DS9 icon, and the TNG icons appear, and that's pretty much it. Everything else is just pretty much Enterprise everywhere. I guess there's a Voyager, and I didn't notice Arkham Lam, the Bajoran guy, has the customizable card game property logo because of he's dropped in the background.
Really interesting. Yeah, well, I mean, he doesn't appear in the 22nd century, and
is that background from just a random shot of Bajor?
Bajor, yeah,
outpost or something.
That's interesting that they decided to do that.
That's great.
Certainly not. Decipher never shied away from using images that were not necessarily. I mean, you know, we never actually see some of the mirror folk in their mirror form that we get in the show, and yet, you know, they just use images of them. And call it what it is.
Yeah.
So, but that's cool, you know, if they did that. I'm not sure. That might just be an image of him from the... I don't know if he has a vision. It's been a long time since I've seen that episode. But it's very cool. It's very Prophet-esque.
Yeah.
If that is shopped, it's a very good job. And the little aura.
Very good.
So yeah, new cards new cards are new cards. So we're certainly not going to argue with an influx of new things to keep the game interesting.
So we have a release event a week from Saturday, right?
We do. I still have to figure out what I'm going to play.
Yeah. So let's see. A week from Saturday, that means about a little less than 2 weeks from when we're recording, which means I should have started my deck about 2 weeks ago.
That's exactly what I was going to say.
Well.
And I'm like, I feel like I have to play something 22nd century compatible if I want to use any new cards, but...
Well, you can splash in the Orion mission, the Orion, their personnel report there, and...
It has been a while since I've commandeered a ship. That could be some fun.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to doing that with the dilemma, because every time, I swear, every time I use that, oh, look, I've got this empty ship right here. Why don't I just give that to you? Very good. Well, we'll find out what everyone else is running in 2 weeks at our release event. Until then, we'll probably have a report here. And if you happen to have a release event or an opinion on these cards or anything related to 1E that you want to tell us about, the email address is section31@danhammond.com.
Moving to the 2E side of things, as far as new cards are concerned, there is... Is this Will of the Collective or event, or is this just a series of polls? I haven't really seen the logo.
There's two things going on right now. Will of the Collective is going on. As we record this, they're looking for Harry Mudd's concept.
Right.
So if you've got an opinion, please head over and vote. If we've already moved on from this phase, continue.
In the words of the show trial crowd, vote now, vote now, vote now.
Yes. Or use Kirk.
I'm thinking of the prequels. Wow, I should be ashamed of myself. I am ashamed of myself. I retract that. TK, if you cut that, that would be fantastic. Or everybody can just hear this and know that I'm a jerk.
So right now they're voting for the name Hardcourt Fenton Mudd or Harry Mudd, and the concept for the first edition card and the concept for the second edition card. But going on at the same time is Charlie had posted on the 1E gameplay and the 2E gameplay to kind of sound off about what the he calls it the money card for each affiliation or faction is. We end up playing a lot of different affiliations down here.
We do.
What going down the list? What do you what would you call?
Can I have one card for the whole list?
Yeah, what would that
be? Because that'd be Dakot, the cheese ass puppet. But if I have to put an actual affiliated card for each one, then I could do that. But.
Yeah.
That'd be near the top of my list.
So, let's see. For Bajorans, is there and I think the idea here is, if you're looking for cards here, I would pick things that aren't printable.
What's the... Oh, okay. Well, what's the card that you have to put in every deck of that, or what's the
pretty
most
much.
Effective...
Cards that are hard to get... You know.
Well, that's not always the same thing. I mean, Lita, the Terek Nor Lita is pretty rough to get, even though we just got added to the prize pool promos. But you know, anything from Necessary Evil that's halfway decent is going to be super hard to get. But as far as a Bajoran money card, well, you know, it used to be Krim.
Yeah.
He was super powerful back in the day, but there's so many dilemmas now that it's hard to really keep track of anything.
How about the Host Odo?
Host Odo's pretty good. I still really like regular Odo too. It's amazing how often you don't think about his game text coming into play. Stopping, you know, disabling treachery and thieves. Man, there's so many Kiras, too. I thought that first minister, Shikara, was going to be a super tank, but I don't know. I haven't seen as many people playing him as I thought. With the unstopping everybody when they complete a 40-point mission.
Right.
I would have said Sisko back in the day, too, what with the back in the days of the three-man away team.
That's right, Sisko and Brile and Opaka.
Yeah,
Opaka's still pretty good.
Yeah,
being able to fetch anyone.
Definitely.
I might go for that just because fetching anyone's pretty good. It can go in any deck, and she's a little expensive, but
it's pretty timeless. You know,
maybe Borum.
Borum is unilaterally useful, I think. Yeah, yeah. That's not a bad choice.
All right.
Either. All right. I think that might be it. So next one is really going to be your foray, if we're looking alphabetically.
Yeah, I'm looking at that and I'm thinking, yeah.
The Borg.
The Borg Queen. It's hard to play without her.
Yeah, Borg Queen. Insert subtitle here.
Yeah. Probably Guardian of the Hive, because drone swapping is just so huge.
It is really huge.
If I was going to go for one that's harder to get, it might be Quintessence.
Yeah.
Because, I'm just not a fan of it. I don't know. There's something about pitching cards, but every winning deck that I've seen uses it to good effect.
All the high-level decks I've seen are yep. huge Quintessence decks, particularly the unique drone decks that are quick solvers. Yep. It's really hard to argue with any other card. I will throw out 2 of 9, though. Because I've seen Johnny just absolutely murder his usefulness, and that was really a misnomer, but just put it, murder my usefulness, I guess, with his usefulness.
How about maul the opponent with him?
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, all Quintessence, 2 of 9. I'll put him under my deck. Kill your event. Quintessence, 2 of 9.
Yeah.
Play him. Put him under.
Yeah, every turn, and he's just building up for his back to basics, and it just works so well. I think I'd go with any of those three. Those are... Yeah, I think you could play without any of them, but having any of them be printable would be fantastic.
Yeah.
Cardassian.
Cardassian is a good question. There's a lot of if I were going to go with if we're thinking like something I would print and have in any Cardassian deck, I would go with Mila.
The one that kills off the one that dies to kill event.
Dies to kill and interrupt. Mm-hmm. She's got intelligence. She's got honor, which is not easy to come by with Cardassians. The unstoppable interrupt hate is useful without question.
Yeah,
I mean,
I think I'd agree with that.
I'm a little leery of how the game is kind of leaning into the sense alter war. To go back to the old school Star Wars term, but any cancellation that can't be canceled is really powerful.
So you think jumping down to TOS, the Benjamin Sisko would be a good pick?
Sisko is really good. TOS is not a question, though. It's always Kirk. If you were talking about a money card that is just ridiculous, and you'd be dumb not to play that affiliation without it. It's just too good. I certainly now that do not mistake me, and take that as a lobby for it to be printable, because it's not. It's actually a lobby for it to be errated. But
You're lucky. He's already been errated, so he is printable.
You know what? Screw you, erratophile.
Yes, there's actually a format. We'll talk about it at the end of the show. That might be good for that, but
the barest minimum that I would tolerate him still being in the game would be to eliminate his Earth icon.
Yes, I think I would agree with that. It's too bad the Genesis came out when it did, and it necessitated him having the Earth icon so he could play.
I mean, everybody knows, and even the designers will admit, the only reason those have the Earth icon on them was so that they could be playable when they came out. I think that's not an unreasonable errata to just say those don't have that anymore and move on. But
they keep adding more people. I mean, Valeris was in This Side of Paradise and she had it. All right. Well, next on the list is Dominion. What's the last Dominion deck you played?
Trying to remember.
I don't think I play Dominion very often. If I do, it's like one of those Jem'Hadar, like what's his name, that Ramataclan or something that.
Yeah,
people.
Ramataclan is really good. The exclusion of somebody else from a random selection, that's pretty hardcore. Make sure that the person you need gets through. Man, that's really rough because the Dominion archetypes are so different. You can if you go all Jem'Hadar with the Relentless deck, or not the Relentless, Friction deck, or you know, if you decide you want to go infiltrator shapeshifting, or if you need the, you know, the Vorta leadership, you know, playing, you know, score 5 points or download a Jem'Hadar.
There's a Vorta, is it, which was the guy that lets you make Keevan. Full players draw a card?
Keevan.
Yeah, he's pretty good too.
Yeah, he's pretty good. So yeah, I would definitely probably Keevan or Omadaclon.
All right. Have you played DS9 recently? As a DS9 deck and not as a springboard for something else.
You mean using DS9 for a non-aligned deck?
Which yeah,
seems to be
much.
The going practice. Not in a while. I'm trying to think. No, I wanted to, but I keep ended up using it for something else. I think I played a DS9 Ferengi deck most recently.
Right. Like a Dabo deck or something?
Yeah. So not really a lot. It's just that I was thinking about it the other day because DS9 used to be such a powerhouse. I mean, a lot of the 2E tournaments that I've won back when I used to be capable of winning tournaments were with Deep Space Nine. But I think it's because they are such a skill powerhouse and the meta has shifted away so far from skill dilemmas and into the, and people just go for the generic stop dilemmas.
Right.
So frequently that, which as we've seen, they're trying to get away from that. What with all of the, you know, if this, you know, if you encounter a dilemma that costs more than zero and doesn't require a skill, bypass,
yeah.
But that still doesn't stop a lot. There are a lot of just all random stop or lots of stop dilemma piles out there. And, you know, all the super skill powers of Deep Space Nine are kind of helpless against it.
I wonder if there is a resurgence in all skill dilemmas with things like Legacy and the like, if, you know, Confessions will come back.
Yeah, that would be nice. I mean, that was a fun deck, and it was a solid Deep Space Nine. You kind of got the feel of the DS9 deck out of it.
Yeah, it was pretty much the mains.
Yeah,
the mains either had Treachery or they were a Trill, so you can use
Rite of Emergence.
Exactly.
Was
Rite of Emergence from Reflections, or
no,
did they just reprint it in Reflections?
They reprinted it. That was a necessary evil.
Ah, okay.
Card, but you know, Bashir is good, Odo is good. I'm trying to think of something quintessentially DS9.
Maybe one of the Defiants.
The Gamma Defiant, maybe.
I think the one I ended up using most often is the Patrolling Warship to stop the opponent if they came by.
Yeah.
That worked. That's, I think that one worked really well with the Captain's Log deck too.
So that's or you know, if you just want to go for pure skill tank, you could do a Jadzia.
The Jadzia from Necessary Evil. That's so hard to get a hold of.
True, and that gives you
like
the event minute. Oh. Who's next?
Ferengi. That's all you, man.
Rega. Done. Rega or Brunt. But I think Brunt is overpowered. I think both of those are overpowered, and I wouldn't like to see them reprinted. But if we're just pointing out a power card.
Mm-hmm. Happy bouncing Brunt.
Yeah. I would love it if he said something to the effect of, if you know, you command for Ferenginar and no other headquarters.
Well, now with all the
because that's
rituals,
really ridiculous.
That's, not playing the rituals is going to be a price to pay. You know, if you want to run Brunt, you can't be tossing out those free cards and making your deck smaller.
Yeah, I don't think that's a huge price to pay for what he does.
All right, well, one of those two would be good. How about your other deck, Klingon?
Well, you know, Kemtar was a mainstay for a long time, but with, even with agonizing and, you just kind of suck it up and go with him. Outside of him, I really enjoyed the All Good Things Worf, or maybe Hart Worf. They both do very similar things, but slightly different. Preventing. One of them is Klingon or host unstoppage, and the other one is any honor personnel prevents a stop or a death against a high cost dilemma.
Well, that's pretty good, yeah.
So, Worf is a... we always joke about there not being a gold shirt Worf for so long, and there's so many good Klingon Worfs, which is nice. I like that he is a central figure in that. So, certainly having him as a reprint would not be a bad choice at all.
When was the last time you played Maquis?
A long time.
Oh, yeah. Maybe something like Stalling for Time or Biogenic Weapon.
Oh,
kind of the
man.
Old standbys.
That's rough. Yeah. I suppose everybody plays with Biogenic, or plays as if they're going to play against Biogenic Weapon so much that it wouldn't be a huge bad to reprint it. I just hate that card so much. can we just burn them all instead of reprinting it?
That card won me second place in the Vegas tournament that we went to because my opponent played it on one of my missions and thought he had the game locked up, and I blew it up and went and saw the mission. It was over.
Nice.
So, I don't mind the card so much, but it reminds me to put Event Destruction.
Sure.
Or make me be able to do all of my missions, you know?
Yeah. So certainly not a bad choice.
Yeah.
What's after Maquis? Romulan?
Yeah.
How about you think? Green Man?
I would like to see any of the four Marx brothers.
Yeah, it's hard to argue with that.
That was a fun deck for a long time. I haven't seen it recently, but they seem to just have... I mean, you get them all four of them together, they seem to have all the skills, and they can't be stopped.
Yeah.
Especially now with just a handful of rituals, because you don't care.
And with those two new people, Ruan and the new Ruan and the new Kalina.
Mm-hmm.
Man, I was thinking about putting that back together.
Yeah. If I had to go with just one, I don't know. I guess I'd go with Lore.
Sure.
Because, that fits pretty well with that deck. I would like to see that deck again, to try to play that deck again. Not against it, so don't get any ideas. All right. How about Starfleet?
Man, Starfleet is so diverse with the damage deck and the mirror deck and the Mako deck. They all need different things. I don't know, a ship?
Which is the Mako that jumps to the mission, the leader guy?
That's Jeremiah Hayes. Yeah,
he might be good because I see him in a lot of decks, not just Mako decks.
That is true. Hopping in like that is nice.
Pretty much a free guy, especially when you play him in the first turn and then go do your mission and your opponent forgets that he's still sitting over there and only plays two, and Johnny beats me again.
Supplies!
Yeah.
Jetpack attack.
Exactly. I could see that. I could see something more generic, like a Cypher's Horizon.
Yeah.
That goes into most decks as well.
That would be a good
combo.
And now that, with At What Cost is printable, right, from that series, early series promo, so that would be a nice fuel for a new Starfleet deck.
Got a new player, so here's how you're going to go fast. Card number one, card number two, here's your damage crew or your alien crew, your future crew.
Yeah.
Just go with it. That would be pretty good.
Tarek Nor?
Yeah.
Odo? I mean, he's already printable. I don't know that there's a... how about Damar?
Done. Yeah, since they remade her Dukat, he's pretty much the one left. Or maybe, I suppose Founder Leader's good, too. You drop her on the turn you need her, but Damar, just every turn's pretty good.
Yeah,
I'd go with Damar. Yep, good choice.
And non-aligned.
Sure.
Morn.
Morn should be the TNG pile. Or, sorry, the DS9 pile.
Yeah. Oh, we skipped all the feds.
What did we skip?
Voyager.
That starts with
TNG.
A B.
TNG.
Starts with a T.
Okay.
So, TNG.
Morn.
what card would you play in your TNG deck? I'm trying to think of what
I just had Guinan.
Guinan's good. I so want another copy. You know, and I don't think I'd ever use three copies, but one of the cards that I only have two of that I actually use is the Enterprise from Dangerous Missions.
Really?
The crash and burn? Yeah.
The Troy at the helm Enterprise?
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know that I would ever use a third one, but it's just... Clearly, my daughter wants another third one in the deck.
Seriously, she's crying out for you. Sympathy.
Or apparently she wants the whales. I'd have to go with you. Probably Guinan. That's more universal.
Generally useful.
Yeah. She was reprinted in Reflections, but you know what? How could you go wrong? And if you're going to play her, you play with three of them, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, you killed my Guinan. Oh, yeah. Oh. Hey, look.
Oh, look, I play another. At what cost? TOS, we kind of already decided either Original Thinker or I like Benjamin Sisko.
Yeah.
The Anti-Interrupter.
Definitely. Not really a TOS card, but...
But, you know, it goes in every TOS deck.
Yeah, it does, and it's very useful, and it's kind of cool, you know. Oh, hey, look, he's in the gold shirt.
Yeah. Voyager?
Yeah, I would reprint everything to be non-existent so that there is no more Voyager. I like that. I would reprint Chakotay so that he's not have the text that he has and you can only play with the reprint. like the 1E conversion file. This is the new Chakotay. This is it. The old one does not exist. I think if you're printing out new cards to give to a new player, then that's the first lesson they need to learn is you don't want to play Voyager.
Yes.
Look, the Equinox crew is all virtual. Play that.
Very good. All right. Well, we've yammered on about this long enough. You can post your answer to which your money card is for each affiliation, sub-affiliation, whatever you want, on the Gameplay 2E boards. And there's actually another post on the 1E boards, but we're out of time for that, so.
Maybe next time.
Yeah, exactly.
So we're not necessarily out of intelligence, but we're certainly out of a way to intelligently convey it. So we're going to wrap up this time. I am Sir Rogue.
I am still Sir Dan.
And I'll thank Warp 11 and TK and remind you all to expand your power in the universe.
And 89 is the number of the day to end.